This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of the First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's Word. And for this hour, it is my host to serve as the host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. As we round the home stretch and prepare to begin a new year, it is my privilege, as we have done the last couple, to bring my lovely wife, Peggy, and a very dear and esteemed colleague and friend, Mr. Dennis Mitchell, to bring them on board this broadcast. They'll be sharing with me in just a few moments. But first, we not finalize, but try and tie up some loose, rather profound ends concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. There is in the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 2nd verse, and this is one of the great prophetic passages of Scripture. We read in verse 2, "The people who walked in darkness, they have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has dawned." It is true, however, that whenever light appears, for some the light proves to be a source of warmth, and it proves to be a guide that will allow us to take our proper path. It will illuminate our minds and hearts, and if it's the light of the gospel, it will bring us into direct contact with Almighty God, of whom the Scripture says that God is light. Indeed, Christ said of himself, as he spoke to his disciples, giving identification, self-identification to them, "I am the light of the world." But we also are understanding of the fact that light also will turn many, many away. For instance, when you turn the light on in the basement, if there is a rat down there, it will hustle away and move into the shadows. If people are involved in some kind of immoral or criminal activity, the last thing that is wanted is for any kind of attention to be brought. So all of this kind of nefarious and insidious activity plays out in the shadows and in the dark. And so with the coming of the light of Christ, with the birth of the Messiah, we have several depictions within the Gospels as to how various individuals or groups of people responded to the coming of Christ, to the coming into the world of the light, a light that not everyone understood, indeed a light that many would reject, but still the light of the world. First and foremost, we can look to the Magi, more commonly known as the wise men, as we find them in the Gospel of Matthew. And this is what we read from the text. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." The Magi were wise men. They were far more than merely intellectuals. They were men who sought at the deeper level the wisdom that God has to offer all of us. And they were awaiting the birth of the Messiah. They may not have properly or in any meaningful way well understood who he was and what he would be about, but they knew that he was someone special, someone sent from God, someone who would be worthy of their attentions. And they traveled a considerable journey in order to find the baby Jesus. They were waiting for him, they were looking for him, they were longing for him. And when they received understanding that he had arrived, if we may put it this way, this is what we read. They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed, and on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. One must understand that warning gives due measure to the wisdom of these men and to the desire of their hearts. They understood that this was a dangerous occupation to seek out the baby Jesus. Jesus, you must know, in that day was a marked child. He was marked for destruction by King Herod and the prevailing political powers. But the wise men were wise. They had wisdom that defied mere human cognition, and they knew the worth of the baby Jesus. Indeed, not only did they travel a great distance, but they gave themselves hook, line, and sinker, lock, stock, and barrel over to the worship of the Christ. And they opened their pockets, if you will. They gave him their time. They gave him their bodies. They gave him their energies. And they gave him the kinds of gifts as enumerated in the text: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. No mere $1 or $2 thrown into the church plate during a worship service. They gave the best they had in order to honor Christ. And this is wisdom. Who is the wise man? The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I love how the King James Version of the Bible has described what they experienced. And I quote, "They rejoiced with exceeding great joy." They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The wise men were wise men indeed, and we would be wise to follow their example. But then you have the shepherds, and we read of the shepherds in the Gospel of Luke and that magnificent sequence in the first two chapters concerning the coming of and the very birth of Jesus Christ. We read that the shepherds, they were going about their business, and their business was a very, very visceral and real one. These were hardy men. They were not men to be trifled with. They were not men to fool around with. They were hard-nosed, assertive men of business, if you will. But we read that to such men, as they went about their business, that the angel appeared to them. Indeed, at a certain point, an entire multitude of angelic host appeared before them. We read that the shepherds, for all of their manly vigor and hardiness, that they were afraid. But the angel, as angels always do, praise God, told them not to be afraid. Angels do not want us to fear them. They want us to listen to them because they come as messengers direct from God. And indeed, they brought with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read this, that the gospel came to these men. You know, earlier this week, I was out distributing scriptures on the streets of Conshohocken, and I came across some men doing some very serious manual labor, and I engaged them in conversation, and I asked them if I could share with them the Word of God for Christmas. And the one man, already having been very pleasant, went quiet on me and clearly wanted nothing to do with the word that I was offering him. But the other man stepped forward with a huge smile. "I would love to take that from you. Thank you so very much." You see, the gospel came to them. One man rejected, at least in the immediate. The other man accepted and received with gratitude. Again, at least in the immediate. But we know of all of the shepherds that they made great haste to make inquiry as to what was happening. And we know as well that they gave direct testimony to the people, and they gave glory and honor and praise to Almighty God. Who amongst the people of God is doing just this, giving testimony to how God has revealed himself to them in holy love, and giving glory to God with all we are and all we have? Praise God for those who do just this. But then we also must be mindful of the prevailing powers. And we know of the prevailing powers that they had a profoundly different take on the birth of Christ. We know, for instance, that King Herod wanted the child dead. We know as well, please, that the religious authorities, namely the Pharisees, they plotted, the word says, to kill him. We know that the Roman authorities, though they were a bit less invested spiritually and viscerally, we know that the Roman authority was willing to see him dead, if that's what it would take to maintain their authority. You see, prevailing power has vested interest, as does the world today, drawing upon Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth will rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." We are seeing this now across the boards amongst the common man, with apostasy all around us. We are seeing this on the part of governing authority, showing little or no respect, even outright antipathy, for the gospel and the people of God. But for you who listen, as for those of us who man these microphones today, what do you do with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? I pray, as do Dennis and Peggy, that you receive him into your hearts and minds and into your lives with gratitude. Praise God. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I am so pleased. This is really a great privilege and joy for me. I have lived and labored and ministered with my lovely wife alongside of me, Peggy, for many, many years now. And she has joined us on this broadcast before. Indeed, if you were listening last week, you would have heard her share her rendition of the great Christmas hymn, O Holy Night. And Mr. Dennis Mitchell, a dear friend and a colleague in ministry, the man who carried our church pulpit for the duration of my cardiac ordeal, and he well fed the fellowship of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken. Peggy and Dennis, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Brad.
So glad to be here.
Well, we are delighted and glad you are here. Peggy, I'm going to start with you. We've been going through a horrible year. I mean, there's no one on this planet who would think otherwise. It's just been horrible. Political perfidy, pandemonium on the streets, pandemic by way of the coronavirus. But you and Dennis and I, we are committed and convicted Christians. So my question to you both, and again, Peggy, we'll start with you. Ladies first, what have we learned as Christians? What have we learned about our glorious gospel through this horrible year?
Well, I know for myself, the main thing is that God is at the helm. For whatever reasons he's allowed this pandemic and other issues to arise, I know that all the things he's brought us through in our life and through the church, that we must keep our eyes on him, have faith that he will bring us through, or fear will overwhelm us and we may go down physically, spiritually, emotionally, fear in many facets such as death, sickness, loss of jobs, given its effect on our economy, isolation, and many more issues. There's so many things that if we allow that fear to take a root in us, that we just will fall apart. But I praise the Lord that he's with us through all things, and he's at the helm.
Well, Peggy, in the best way, for those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus, we know that the best way to offset or to combat fear is to fix our eyes upon Jesus, who is our rock. You and I, many, many years ago, were on board a fishing boat. We were off the coast of Florida, and it was a brutally hot day. The sun was just beating on us. You were having a ball because you were catching fish. I was having a miserable time because I was seasick. And you will remember that I was just for 3 hours fearful that I would do nothing but vomit. And the gentleman with us counseled me to fix my eyes on the nuclear power plant that was off at a distance. Fix your eyes, he said, on that power plant. It will steady you. because I was very much afraid that everything within me was going to be all over the boat. And so I fixed my eyes on that power plant, and it calmed my body. It calmed my stomach. The problem was, however, that the sun still beat upon us. And once I was calm, I would get sleepy. And as I got sleepy, I would take my eyes off Jesus, or rather the power plant, and I would begin to get seasick afresh. And we're living in a world when, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, we can find ourselves ghettoized, and the world all around us is falling to pieces, and other people around us need who and what we have. So, Dennis, I look to you now. What have you learned as a Christian about our gospel through this horrible season?
Well, yes, as has been said, we do focus on Jesus, and we do find our calm in him. And I think the lesson that we learn over and over again is that when we have that calm, when we can remain peaceful in the midst of pandemic and pandemonium, that if we can be that example to others, that they will question, that they will wonder, what is it about you that allows you to have this peace and calm? And that gives us that opportunity to point to the gospel, that it's the presence of Jesus in our lives that grants us that peace and the ability to realize, as Peggy says, he is in control, he is at the helm, and we need not worry.
Well, Dennis, you use the word presence, the concept of the presence of God. I know that Peggy accentuates this as well. We always, as believers, need to understand that we live our lives, we live them out in the presence of Almighty God. He is our referent with a capital R. And when we are fixated on him, everything else will fall into place. You have spoken of peace, and I'm wanted to think of the profusion of grace that God gives to us. God does not hold anything back. God pours out upon us. I think, for instance, in Romans 5, we read that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. It's not been given to us piecemeal. It's been poured out into our hearts. The joy of the Lord. Jesus, in his final so-called high priestly prayer, pray that the full measure of Christ's joy would be given to us. And when you speak of peace, I love the Bible tells us that it's a peace that passes all rational understanding, but it's a peace that takes deep root in our lives. And Peggy, I know you well. I mean, we've been married now for 24 years, and I know how the presence of Christ in your life has sustained you through many a trial.
Well, I've learned that he is faithful, and as you said, he brought me through so many different things that it's just strengthened my faith, experience after experience.
Well, you know, experience for the Christian is like a gym for the bodybuilder. Our spiritual muscles develop and take shape when we allow the Spirit of God to use experience to our spiritual advantage and to his glory. Dennis, while I want to get into our witness at large in the next segment, you have found yourself this year in a place where you have been able to be a witness amidst, frankly, rather arduous circumstance. In a minute or less, would you care to share what you have learned through all of this?
Well, we see that while some have had too much to do, others have had nothing to do. They've been forced not to do anything. And so, once again, I just look to Jesus as the calm and the peace that will allow me to survive through this and hopefully see us get back to some kind of normal.
Well, and you know, with both of you, and I don't mean to sound obsequious or sycophantic, I speak sincerely. The two of you have found your referent in Jesus Christ, and in so doing, in being fixed upon him, as both of you are, Our lovely little fellowship has been richly blessed because you become a kind of referent to incoming Christians, to new believers, to struggling brothers and sisters. They can look to and cling to, if you will, you, the two of you, your witness, your example. You give them your time and your counsel often. It's been a great privilege and joy to watch. And so as we look to Christ, one of the great lessons that we want to extract through this year, 2020, is that others will be able to look to us and in us find the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Dennis Mitchell, Brad and Peggy Lacey, we return afresh on the other end of the commercial divide. Brad Lacey with Peggy Lacey and Dennis Mitchell, my colleagues in faith and in ministry at First Baptist Church at Conshohocken. We resume for yet another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Dennis and Peggy, in this next bit of conversation, I want to shift now away from what we have learned and look a little bit more overtly to what we are now called upon to be and to do. And Dennis, I'm going to start with you because you have found yourself this year in a world you've really been awash in a world of business and of commerce. We've seen very little of you because of the demands upon your time. Notwithstanding that, you have needed to, and you have, kept your eyes on Jesus Christ, and you have found a sense of identity in that place where you are working and spending so much time. Tell us what God has been doing through you in the workplace.
Thank you. What I see really is the response from others. We talk about what we've learned through the pandemic. And so I think that the key here is to take what we've learned and try to teach. What I see are people who are looking for something are in the midst of this difficulty. As I say, some of us are too busy while others have to be held home. So in the midst of that busyness, to be a rock, to be the rock that Jesus is, to be that example, to show others that there can be peace found in the storm, so to speak. When we have that calm within us and we can share it, we can teach others that they can have that same peace and calm. I think that that's what they need to see. They need to see that when the times are at their worst, we can still have our eyes on Jesus and that he can be the calm in the storm. So I've just had to turn back to him again and again for a rock to hold on to, so to speak, like you talk about that eye fixing on that power plant. It's the same thing. And it's an opportunity to teach that in the midst of the storm, there's still a calm.
And Dennis, in learning this and endeavoring to be it, you have shared with us in a very humble but forthright manner that you have observed a difference having been struck in the workplace. I mean, you're not working in Christians. Some of them are, but you're in a secular environment. And yet your witness for Christ and your very presence, Christ at work in you, you've observed that a difference has been struck in that workplace.
Well, I've been fortunate that I'm in an environment that there's a team, maybe a family atmosphere. And so you can, be insulated a bit, but we're still exposed to it because we're dealing with customers. We're dealing with people whose main concerns are just what is going on in their own lives. And so even though we may have a calm, even though we may have a peace, even though we may have a sense of family and teamwork, we still have to deal with that struggle around us. It is sort of like being in the midst of a storm. It is still a difficulty that arises because not everyone has that peace and calm. So when we see, you know, people struggling, we see people that maybe they're not focusing on the big picture, but only on what's in front of them at the moment, we still have to be able to wrestle with it. You find yourself as you are. I don't think there's any better example than the highway. When you see how people are driving these days, you know that they're anxious. You know that they're reacting to the situation in a negative way. You feel that you have to have control over something. And when you don't know that Jesus is in control, when you're not able to realize that there's something bigger than yourself, you can just focus on that moment, trying to do what you can to take control of the situation.
And you know, you speak of the struggles around us and how we respond. The other day I was out distributing scriptures, and a young man, he was kind of a quintessential millennial, and I mean no disrespect to a whole set of people, if you will, but he was extremely rude to me. And there's nothing that I hate more than rudeness and incivility. It's just, it's the thing that can really get to me. And yet I'm out there on the street endeavoring to be a witness for Christ. And so, you know, I had to instinctively pray and ask God to give me grace so that I did not lose my witness before this very rude young man, very rude and disrespectful. And so I know in my heart that God allowed me to maintain a graciousness and even an affability. And that in and of itself becomes a witness for Christ, because I strongly suspect that in another context, such rudeness would have been met not with Christ, but with more rudeness. And one thing can lead to another. But as you speak of the struggles around us and endeavoring to be a witness amidst all of that, Peggy, turning back to you, you have sought to be and have succeeded in being a witness to those around you while you've been immersed in struggle yourself. If last year I was overcome and overwrought by serious cardiac issues, this year you have had a series of health challenges that have not been pretty, and yet you've been able to maintain your presence before God and your witness for Christ before his people. Share a bit, would you?
Yes. I've been through several different health issues, as you know. And for me, I realized that God allows certain things in our life sometimes, because if we didn't have situations that we had to go to him for, we wouldn't increase in our faith and we wouldn't learn to be the overcomers which God has called us to be. And so not only are we rising above the circumstances, but also when we're able to share that with other people will see and they'll say, well, she got through this, she got through that. I wonder what it is that is making the difference in her life. And so I just praise the Lord, because I know that as the scriptures tell us, we have the victory in Christ, and we're his witnesses here. The scriptures also tell us that we're ambassadors for him, that we're priests for him. And I just pray that and be that interactor, that person that can, by my lifestyle and the things which God has brought me through and in the sharing of them, that I can help them to see that that Christ is the answer, and that open the door and allow me to share the gospel with them.
Well, Peggy, you know, you, along with our dear brother Ed Ross, you are always two who are so quick on the uptake, if you will, when we take opportunity during our morning worship to give glory and honor to God. You are always there, always ready, always eager to give honor to God. And you are in that respect a beacon or a light to the people of God. And I'm struck by something, and if I've never actually articulated this to you, even 24 years into marriage, we continue to learn one another, let alone from one another. And I say this to you, for all of your travails, whether they were by way of lifestyle choices of an earlier pre-Christ era, or they have been health issues in more immediate years. You have never allowed these things to become your identity. It is so easy for people to become consumed by what is besetting them. You have never allowed that of yourself. You've always surrendered to God. You've always deferred to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you've always held high the mantle of the gospel. And it's my great privilege to be alongside of you in marriage and in ministry, because you have been truly a light to our people at First Baptist Church and in our broader community. Dennis, the same is true of you. When God brought you amongst us, we were blessed with accentuated light. And you've lent yourself in humility. You've lent yourself with earnestness. You fed our people while I was in hiatus, courtesy of cardiac surgery. You fed our people well. And so you bring a wonderful point of light to bear and have become one of our reference for Christ. How does that feel to be just that?
I think it's a joy, but at the same time, it is a responsibility. You like to use the phrase that we are ambassadors of Christ. So it's important to always remember that it's the actions and the words that we use that people will reference. So we may have the peace and calm in our hearts, but it is in our words and actions that it's made visible.
You know, I often think of the Carter Conlon out of Times Square Church saying that often he wakes up in the middle of the night feeling as if a 500-pound elephant is upon him. When one is in ministry, there is great privilege and with it joy on the one hand, but on the other, there is great responsibility and burden, and we must look to Christ if we are to carry it. Both of you have done this consummately, faithfully, and fruitfully. Brad Lacey, Dennis Mitchell, and Peggy Lacey, we return with one final round in just a moment. Brad Lacey, his lovely wife Peggy, his fine friend and esteemed colleague Dennis Mitchell, we are returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. For those of you listening in the audience, you're a kind of listening congregation, I would be remiss if I did not give allowance for both Dennis and Peggy to take a moment or two and to share personally. They have brought great substance and fruitfulness to our pulpit and to our lectern, indeed to our coffee table fellowship and conversation. They bring something special. The Word of God, it lives in them. They both embody it. And so, Peggy, would you take a moment or two and whatever the Lord has laid upon your heart for our wonderful congregation over the airwaves to hear, would you share with us, please, what God has given to you?
Yes. I always think of the core of Christianity, and that Jesus summed that up into love our neighbor as ourselves. And however we want other people to treat us, I think it's so important that we treat them that way, especially knowing the love of God and the grace of God towards us, and knowing that if they don't know the Lord, that they're blind to that. So we have to be long-suffering and patient with others and pray for them that they will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I also think in terms of the church, we are the body of Christ. And what does that mean? He's the head, we're the body. And when we think of our own natural bodies, we think of the fact that in our bodies there are cells. And if all those cells don't work together to build the body up, then it's not going to be strong and healthy. And it's the same way with the body of Christ. We, as the cells in the church, more or less have to have that encouragement, be encouraging one another, building one another up, because especially during a time like this with the pandemic and everything, people are afraid, people have different things in their lives, and they don't know how to handle them. So that's why God has given us his word, and as we've mentioned earlier, being an ambassador for him, both within the body of Christ and outwardly, we need to be, make the body of Christ strong. And one of the things I'm grateful for is that we do have prayer. And we have prayer twice a week. We have prayer, I mean, every day from 12 to 1, we have a time where our people gather together in prayer. Thursday evenings, we have a time where our people gather together in prayer. And I truly believe that prayer is at the core of so much, that we have to constantly be praying for those that don't know the Lord and praying for those who do but are struggling with these times and things that are happening. I especially think of, and both Dennis and you know, that we recently lost a loving brother. And he was very sick. He didn't have COVID, but being in the hospital, he just being isolated was the thing, I think, that really made him die at a sooner time than he did. And I think it's just so important that we reach out to others during these times, that we reach out to one another, and we let them know that we're there for them. And God will use that.
Well, caring. Peggy, you speak of our dear brother Jeffrey. He was not a man, sadly, built for that kind of isolation. He simply wasn't psychologically built or prepared for it. And I do think that it helped to bring about his demise. But praise God, we know that he is with Jesus. And I never, as much as I miss him or any of my loved ones who have left us, I never begrudge anyone the company of Jesus Christ. The presence of Christ drives out all fear, and in the presence of Christ there is perfect love. Doesn't the scripture say that perfect love drives out all fear? And I believe it was Benedict the 16th who said something, and the great Anglican New Testament scholar N.T. Wright said it independently but simultaneously, that love is the great hermeneutic of the gospel. For people to understand what you and I and Dennis have, we need to be manifesting and giving our lives over in the agape, the holy and sacrificial love of Christ. That kind of love speaks powerfully. Dennis, would you share? The Lord, no doubt, and I know he has, laid something upon your heart.
Well, yes, a group that we do pray for quite often, continuously even, are the children. And I've thought about them a lot through this pandemic and what they're experiencing. And it occurs to me that each generation comes up, whatever is going on at that time is their normal. So for this generation growing up, they don't know as we do what came before. They don't look at it as a change so much in society as just what they are experiencing. And it's been really difficult for them, being held in the houses, not able to go to school normally, missing their friends. So I think it's important that we continue to pray for that group, and also, as I have prayed, to be able to have an impact in their life, and had that opportunity, and God provides it, that we can speak to them and make them aware, as we do every person, that we will get through this, thanks be to God, that he will see us through it and that we will come out and we will have a stronger faith because he does see our concerns, he does hear our prayers, he does respond to our prayers, and he will see to their needs the same as he does ours.
Well, praise God. And Dennis, in utilizing the example of children and their experience and what they're learning, as of late, a thought has been striking me. I even did a Facebook post to this effect. But Jesus said, "Suffer not the little children to come to me." He clearly reveled in the company of children. And not only are we to suffer not their coming to him, but Jesus also said, and this is a rather remarkable statement, that unless we come to him as little children, we will not be given entry into the kingdom of God. And as I've reflected upon this, it has struck me that if Jesus Christ himself, very God of very gods, had to enter this world as a baby, then you and I must enter the kingdom of God comparably as babes. Babes in Christ who will grow up. We will grow spiritually, just as we grow physically and psychologically and socially. We will grow up into Him who is the head, namely Jesus Christ. Praise God. Peggy or Dennis, 15 seconds apiece. Any last thoughts?
God loves us. God loves you. God wants nothing more than for us to have relationship with Him in Christ Jesus.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, brother. Peggy, yourself.
I just would like to reiterate what we said up front, was that God is at the helm. He's guiding and directing, and the scriptures say, He that has done a good, begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So He's working in and through us, and I praise the Lord for His presence in my life and in the life of His people.
Well, we praise God with you, dear lady. On behalf of Peggy Lacey and Dennis Mitchell, and our dear friend, Mr. Frank, who works with us in the production of this broadcast, we bid you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you, and God bless you.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.